song title again?
And I did not be a little married.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Check, check. I'm sitting outside. Just put a sweater on. Very cool here, which is nice. It's just great for sleeping, and I much prefer this to hot, sticky weather. Sleep very well in this, and I will tonight. It's 9:30, and I'm feeling kind of lonely, and it's I think it's unusual for me. Cliff and Alice left about an hour ago, back to their motel. I'll see them tomorrow for another day of racing, and then I'll head home tomorrow after the last race, I guess late afternoon probably. Join the lineup getting out of here. We decided not to go up and see the band, and it's a band up on the hill. I can't hear them from here, so that means they're quite a distance, so it would be miserable for me to walk along sort of a gravel roadway to get there. And I had enough of the band last night. This is a different band that I just don't, you know, I'm not in the partying mood. And it's too early to go to bed. I suppose I could go in and read. That would make sense. That'd be a good thing to do. I felt I wanted to share this, maybe to to express my loneliness, and then maybe I'd come out thinking, well, I'm not really lonely. I don't know what it is. I guess it's sort of, you know, you can have a token, you really, you know, you get a rush and you get high and you get activated and everything is wowy. And I couldn't get in the groove. Somehow, these are good friends I was with. But somehow you can still feel very apart from people. Like, how well do we really know each other's lives? Like, how separate are we really? And you think friendship is the thing where you're supposed to feel a closeness. But I think it can also make you, as you listen to somebody else's life story or experiences or stories of their grandchildren or whatever, you can feel apart, separate. That's your world, that's not my world. And it's interesting because the books I've been reading, the Eckhart Tolle, was about, you know, how do you reach that state of awareness when you feel a oneness with all other human beings? Well, that's a long haul to get there. But I don't know. I think maybe as they talked about their kids, it made me think about my kids, and maybe wanting to connect with mine. Wanting to feel a oneness. Is this the kind of thing you leave in a podcast? Or you just say, ooh, that clip didn't work. I don't think we'll share that one. It's quite wonderful to be sitting up on this hill, and then there's a dip down, and then there's another rise where the paddock is, and it's sort of on three levels. It's three paved levels, and so it's quite a ramp getting up there, right up to the top where the racetrack start finish line is. So you're looking across at that thing, and it's very quiet. Of course, there's lights on, and but there are quiet gatherings around each of the, little encampments they have. Some people have some very large motorhomes that they tow a racing car behind, in a trailer behind the motorhome. Quite a few of those. This is unlike teams, where the teams, the NASCAR things, they come up with a huge truck and, other vehicles. These are people who are hobbyists, so if they're gonna travel from one track to another, they might bring this big motorhome so they can be comfortable the whole time in it. Got talking to one of the guys with the MGA he's had for 20 years. He was very excited to show me his twin overhead camshafts. And I said, no. He said, would you like to see? I said, no, it's okay. But he insisted on unstrapping the hood and lifting it up for me. I said, well, I got a friend who might be interested. And sure enough, Cliff just wandered by at that point. And I said, here's a guy who'd like to see your twin overhead camshafts. And, of course, Cliff knew all about that. Cliff having a Triumph TR4 of his own and, belongs to a British sports car club in Nova Scotia. Cliff, who, as I say, raced this track in a BMW, who's always been a good driver. A good friend to have. And this is, again, grade 11, high school, 1966, I guess. When we started hanging out and we're part of a larger group. And boy, we were all good friends through our university days, even though he was at Acadia and I was at Sir George. It's a lifelong friendship. And so now, funny, saying that, now I don't feel so lonely or so apart. We've just shared so much over the years, and it's kind of nice that he was able to fly in with his wife, and who I know very well, and join me. So, does talking make a difference? Maybe it does. Maybe it helps. I guess it may be that I'm trying a little too hard. I'm continually trying to find that right spot, the right perception, the right distance, the right, perspective? Yeah. And really, what you just have to do is just let go and just be and not think much more about how to be, but just to be. And sometimes that gets tricky. So I think I'll shut this down, and I think I'll just try and be for a while. That's the name of the game. Be. Here. Now. I'm looking with a little bit of envy at a campfire going not too far away. And in the older days, I might have just wandered over and talked to them. But because my hearing is so bad now, it's really gotten worse. Very hard to follow a conversation, and that's the last thing you want to do is go over, meet somebody new, and then continually ask, what? Sorry, I didn't hear you. What? That takes the fun out of any new kind of engagement. All right, I gotta get that taken care of, and I better damn well get hearing aids when the time comes. I'm still waiting for those to arrive, those special order ones I got. Scarber Dude, signing off. I was thinking that maybe I had discovered something. I've been sitting here enjoying as the darkness comes, the moon has risen, moved, or you know what I'm talking about, in this position, half moon, quite bright, high up in the sky, light clouds around it, filters, very clear description of the air, image of the Big Dipper. And again, the low lights, coming from the various spots in the paddocks. And then straight ahead, there's a trailer blocking my view, and then a campfire, and it's just nice looking at the fire. I don't want to join anybody. I could have gone up, but I'm really enjoying this bit of solitude. I finally realized, wow, the sky seems so big, and I've noticed this before at Moss Park. When you're on this particular spot where I am, I'm within 30 feet of, you know, I'm in the same place I'm always at when I come to Montsport. Like, this is the place I found, like, right off the bat, my good luck, and I like it, you know? And this expanse of sky, it just seems quite vast here. That's, you know, I don't know what it is. Lack of buildings or anything, yeah, I guess you're in the country, so that's certainly part of it, just trees and just a huge sky above, and you know, there's quite a few just RVs and tents and all these things just in this place, and it's a nice place to be, and it's a safe place to be, and it's a friendly place to be. And having this little time to reflect on the now and being here now and being open to and grateful of this now, this big sky now. Starting to shiver though. Temperature's definitely dropped and I've got a bit of a shiver going, so I'm probably going to end it here, but whatever it was I just told you, I think that's what I wanted to tell you. There was an important part two to that. The part two was, okay, Ken, you've come to the conclusion that... You realize... You feel this now, and you're enjoying this now, and you're liking the sky, and immediately you want to tell somebody about it. You want to get out your recorder and tell them. And the other voice tried to stop me and said, no, why? You don't need to do that. You don't need to tell anybody. You can just be. And another, no. I have to let people know I'm happy. And that's pretty damn suspicious, isn't it? And then that made me realize, oh, is this the thing I'm supposed to understand after 1,000 episodes, you know? You're doing this because you have to. And it's, it might be a good thing not to have to. Just to be content to be here and not have to share that and not have to tell anybody. It's enough. Why do I have to make something of it? Can't it just be? I'll leave that for you to deal with. I think I'm going to shut down. I'm starting to shiver. That's not good. I'm starting to shiver. So I better get inside. Signing off once again. Bye-bye. Well, good morning. And happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers or have or had a father you want to remember. I remember mine. Often I think about him. He was quite an interesting guy. I think a lot of the connection, I think you sort of have to go back to wartime, secrecy, private. He was a very gentle man, very well groomed, I guess, conscious of his appearance, always wanted to look good. The ladies certainly liked my dad. I guess I've got some of those things in me. I mean, I think about what shirt I'm putting on, what hat, what do I look like when I go out. It's shallow, but it's a part of me. I think about my own time as a father and just how much better I could have done. And that saddens me a lot. And I might compare myself to other fathers. And of course, that's a thing that you're not supposed to be doing.
It's this bloody comparison, because it'll just kill you. Well, it won't kill you, but it'll
make you miserable.
I gotta find my sunglasses.
It's morning time. It's just after 9:30. Third race of the day already. I woke up to the sound of races. Like, I slept right through, and that was wonderful. To wake up and you hear cars, oh, I can get up now. I was in bed for 9 hours. Comfortably. God damn it, that sleeping bag and this thing, it's just so nice. Sorry, I'm wandering around a bit. Okay, back to my chair with a little table. A racing chair that I spent so much money having repaired. And from here, I can look straight out, and I've got that big wide opening of the track. And this is now my preferred place. I'm usually parked sideways, and I can see from the passenger seat, but now I'm right at the edge. And it's a good, clear opening as they just come out from the... Whoa! So this is the race with the Minis, the Triumphs, the Lotus, the Porsche, the mixed bag. There's a Sprint. Ooh, backfire. Datsuns. They're just great. These people are really having fun. It's a real race. Wow, I mean, there's three Austin Healey's side by side. Anyway, that's the backdrop here at Mossport. Last night, I don't know, I recorded a couple of clips. I don't know if I'll use them or not. I think it's better if I don't censor myself. I was kind of just trying to adjust to the open space. Like, I liked it, but I'm trying this thing to experience now the actual living, dying, passing moment as it is, as it happens. And it's very hard to do. Because your thoughts come up, and thoughts take you away from now. Thoughts take you forward or backward. And just to keep putting the brakes on, okay, think about the breathing. Just breathe. Just breathe in. Just breathe out. Follow your breath. That helps. And it's sort of as if I'm looking for some kind of, something... Something, a breakthrough maybe, something that just suddenly clears. I'm here. And it's tied in with this need of mine to do exactly what I'm doing now, talk to people on my recorder and put this out for others to hear. That part is kind of removed. I'm not thinking about your listening experience. I'm thinking about, I need to talk now. And the question is why? And this really is what it's all about. And this is what I would like to figure out by the time now, as I hit this 1,000th episode. Excuse me while I have a drink with my vanilla Starbucks double shot energy plus coffee drink. It was just the right thing. I made a cup of hot coffee. Big cup out, fill it with boiling water. Add 2 teaspoons of Tim Hortons dark roast. Put it back in the microwave for another minute, and you got yourself a nice hot coffee. I had that, a quiche, a very nice quiche. Heat it up in the microwave 2 minutes, and a muffin. And the muffins were these special. What they were made to taste like those, you know, something or other. I don't know, some flavor, but they're pretty good. I bought a 6-pack. I think I've had 4 so far. I'm hoping Kip and Alice take the other 2 when they show up. Today will be our goodbye day. And it's been a good connection with them. In spite of what I might have said last night about feeling distant and disconnected and apart. And we live in these silos, you know, so separate from everybody else. But that's not... And that's just one perspective from one time, and that just changes. So, I guess, it's a case of I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Or, no, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I'm trying to figure out life. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. Father's Day. Fuck yeah. Mossport. I'll be here next year this time. God willing. I know. There's no God. But if there are no outrageous health issues, and I may even come up on the Thursday, get a real head start on it, and find this very spot. I gotta figure out something about the propane. You see, there's a thing. I was on a theme. I was on a talk. I was trying to figure out why do I have this overpowering need to turn on the recorder and talk? And it's because I'm trying to hold on to something. And why am I trying to hold on to something? It's like my books, my possessions in the library. It's, you could, you know, maybe some childhood trauma of moving, of leaving. Leaving Valley Field was a huge thing for us. Like, that was all I knew of the grade three. And then this great big house on Galt Street, going to Galt School, where my brother and sister went. And then, whoa, we're living on this street in the suburbs in a new house with people I don't know, going to school I'm afraid of, on a bus. Oh, my God. So, a lot of crying in grade four. But that doesn't really explain it. There's the weirdness of my growing up and not being able to eat anything except hot dogs, tomato soup, peanut butter sandwiches until I headed for Europe on my own and got hungry. Now I can eat anything. But that was huge. That's another psychological. So there is something a little weird about me, okay? I'm going to have to give it that. And when I say, you know, people, what did you do? Oh, I was a teacher. And then I have to correct them. Well, I was an ESL teacher. It's because I wouldn't fit in a regular classroom. I couldn't have been a classroom teacher. I couldn't have taken that responsibility. I couldn't have followed those rules. I think it is lack of confidence, insecurity. And maybe that's at the root of me doing these podcasts. There's an insecurity. There's a need to prove something, to show something. I'm somebody. And why the hell would that be important? Why isn't it enough that I just sit here and enjoy the races and say fuck you to the world? Because I don't want to say fuck you to the world. The world's a sad enough place. But why can't I just be and not have to tell, not have to capture it, not have to hold it, not have to prove something? I don't know. And I guess I'm going to have to leave it there. I don't think there is an answer. But it does raise the question why I had entertained thoughts about stopping after. Okay, then just hard stop. Just stop. Don't do another one. Just live without telling them. It doesn't matter. Be with your friends when you're with your friends. Friends you have, the friends who care, be with them. That's enough. You got friends. But when you're alone, enjoy the time alone. Be with your wife. Be with your children. Just be. Just be. Maybe that'd be a better title. Just be instead of human kindness. I don't know. And I think I'm also confused because it's not necessarily good friends who listen to this podcast. Maybe people who know me and listen to this, and I'm grateful for that. But they not really care. Or, gee, I haven't seen Ken for a long time. I'd really like to see Ken. I don't think there's a whole lot of that. And maybe that's another part of the equation. This need for friendship. That I'm hanging on. Like, I got a grip on my friends. Hey, I'm not letting go, buddy. That's probably not healthy. I mean, I don't make demands. I don't call people up 3 a.m. crying. I don't do that. In fact, I think I give to friends at least as much as I take. I'm gonna go out there. I'm gonna say that. I give to my friends at least as much as I take. I'm almost gonna say, if not more, if not more. You want in on some of that friendship, don't you? Hey, what? I get more? I just got to give him something, and he gives back plus. Wow. Gee, I want to be a friend with Ken. Yeah.
That's for Shane. He likes that. Shane's quite simple. The Shane in Windsor. He's got, I don't know, he's, you know, the businessman. Anyway, and a shout out to Tom again. I did that last time, I know. That seems kind of unfair to other listeners if I single those guys out, but it's because I'm missing Windsor. Windsor is a piece of my life, has become a piece of my life. The Fog Lounge, the various bars these guys take me to, and the restaurants, the good food. Windsor is a piece of my life. And you see, there's a thing, so I want to share that. That's an example, right? That's in the future. I'm going to be going there. Shane will pick me up at the bus stop or the train station, maybe. Probably the train station. And, yeah. Drop me off after breakfast with Tom. It's always good. It's always good. It's always rich. Our life is still rich. And it should just be without me having to share. So, on that note, I think I've got the message across, and I'm struggling a little here. I'm trying to figure things out. I should just be putting this down, focusing on the races. I should have made a little bit of a half-hearted effort to get trackside, but it's just so comfortable sitting here right beside Sal. Everything I need is here, and I'm enjoying my double shot. So, Scarborough Dude! I hope this means something to somebody out there. Because I hope surely you're going through inner struggles yourself. Surely, if you're listening to this, you're trying to figure out who you are and why you are the way you are. I mean, why wouldn't you be? And maybe not. I don't think Cliff goes through this kind of thing. I think maybe I'm possibly cursed with a self-reflective nature. And for whatever reason, and maybe others aren't. No, life is just life. It just goes on, and maybe that's who you are. In which case, this must be awfully... Ugh, God, stop, you know? Signing off. Talk to you later, probably. Yeah, we're not done yet. We're not done yet. Bye for now on this Father's Day Sunday. Be good, be kind. Bye-bye. That small body. They're similar size engines. Oh. And they really fight. I guess the winner of this race has won all four races he was in. He's got something fixed right. They're very, very small. They look like the old Formula One cars way back then, you know, when they were sort of like just a little cigar box with four open wheels. But the reason we're here is for the next race of the, Class 4. The usual cars. And I'm here right at trackside so that I can see them as they come out from the paddock onto the track. You get a real close-up view of them, and you try and snap a few pictures. I've posted well over... saved well over 100 pictures. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Maybe I'll just go through and pick favorites randomly and... I'll pick favorites and put some of those up on Facebook. Just posted a picture of my dad playing the banjo for, you know, on Father's Day, saying I wished I had known more about him or known him better. So much I would have liked to have known about his life. And this is the sad thing: once your parents are gone, you can't talk to them anymore. You can't ask questions. You can't find out what was it like in 1943, whatever, you know. Okay, so
yeah, we'll just stop this now and get ready for the next race. Bye for now. Referring to them as the big boys, but they're noisy. And they're going full out, these things.
He is fifth in Classic 2, fifth in Modern Classic 2, entry of 06.
And again, mixed bag of cars, so it doesn't matter who's number one.
There's your leader, Russ Bond, off of turn 10. The battle shaking up here for second is a good one. A change in that fourth place position.
So turn 10 is the last one. Here they come. They can pass each other here. That's this is a race. Funny, all the Porsches in the rear there. Oh, old Mustang. But when you see, I mean, there's competitors. You're going to have two Mustangs in different years, different vintage. But one will be really hopped up and ready to go. And the other, you know, they're not taking their time. But they just ain't going to be up in the lead. So they're still quite bunched up. That's why we're getting this break and the noise. They're still coming together and moving as a group. But as soon as they announce up corner 10, then it's the start-finish line. Then it's my corner where I am now, to curve number one. And this is where that comes. Top 3 leaders. Third was a Porsche. And that's the Corvette. They're coming out of a corner, and then there's a bit of the road is slanted, and that's where the Corvette flipped over yesterday, exactly where I'm looking now, on this roof. And then they're going to this rise, and then there's this downhill where they really pick up speed, and you come into that wide corner too, which used to be my corner. But now I like to be right close to trackside. Camaro in the rear there, way behind. Top 3
by far. That's first, second, third right there. Third being a Porsche. Four Benz chasing each other. Caution flags are out, yellow flags, slow down. I don't know, maybe it doesn't turn anybody over. But those sounds really do it to me. This is still with the yellow caution flags. They can't pass each other, but they're still going fast. But not top speed. This is the last race of the morning. This is the one I want to see. Afternoon, I don't care so much. I'll go back, make up some lunch for all of us. But I'll let you hear a few of these beasts roaring by. This will be Class 4, I believe. I've just watched them come out onto the track, and now they're just getting lined up at the start-finish line. Pace car will pull off. We got Mustangs, Corvettes. Ooh, a Chevrolet Impala. I didn't see that. Not all of them make it onto the track. You know, these are printed beforehand. BMW, Porsche, Acura, Camaros, Datsun 240Z, Porsche 914, Porsche 996, ooh, gee, that's a fancy 944 Porsche. A Pontiac Grand Prix 2002. Oh, wow, hope to see that too. I didn't see the Triumph TR7, but I guess that's listed here.
as they come off of turn number 10.
Yep.
And we'll look to the back of the grid to see whether
you know what's coming.
Jabouri, whatever the problem was with that race car, I'm sure they gave it their best effort.
Here we go.
You know, the listings on the program don't always match up with the cars that are on the track, so I didn't, there's a few I called out that I did not see in this group. No problem. Still bunched up.
With some of the innovations that they have put in, they'll be here at the end of July for the Mark event. Here is Morello, Michael Morello, looking to go 3 for 3. Rocco Marciano, 153, in that third place position.
That hot Volvo is in. Is a 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix. I didn't recognize. I had to look that up. I wouldn't have known what a 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix looks like. And that Volvo, number 66, it's a 1966 Volvo P1800. It's just moving right up to the lead. That car has been my favorite. That's the leader way out in front. That was a Grand Prix. Followed by a Ford Taurus, number 8. That's a 65 Ford Mustang that just went by. He's doing very well. Number 7 from Scarborough. From Scarborough. Oh, got to cheer him on. He's doing well. Beautiful white. I don't know if I told you. That's the leader. 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix. Number 147, Mike Norrell. Newmarket, Ontario. Way out in front. Some I don't recognize, I have to look up. Like that 156 was a 1994 Chevy Camaro. I wouldn't know at a glance what it was. Not from as they speed by anymore. You want to be in two places at once. Like, I like seeing them in this straightaway, but it's also fun a corner or two to see them coming down the hill and into the dirt. But you can only be in one place at a time. So for your listening pleasure, I've chosen to be close to the track. Got a 1971 Corvette coming up. Should be any moment now. It's my last race for the day, and unfortunately this one's under a full course yellow. There was an accident, once again, right in front of us. Yesterday it was a Corvette that flipped over. Today it was a Porsche and another small, maybe an MG or something that it might have clipped, and bam! Tow trucks and ambulance onto the track, and everybody gets out of these things okay. They're well protected in what they're wearing, and they got roll bars and everything else, but still it's... There's no insurance on these cars. Whoever has an accident, they're stuck with footing the bill. Maybe, I don't know if it's somebody else's fault, whether they try and sue them. I doubt that. I'm sure it's all worked out in advance. You know, if you get your car in a pileup, it's tough luck. Cliff and Alice just left. Cliff kindly bought me a very nice Mossport t-shirt as a gift when he was getting some for his sons. I said, no, please, no, I don't want a gift, but I took it anyway. He insisted. They insisted. And he took me to a new spot again. He said, no, it's really a good viewing point, just up on the bridge, which I'm very close to. It's before corner two. You just, all it involves is going up a lot of stairs. But I can manage that with my cane, not with the walker. And then once you're there, you got a good view of the cars coming straight along. So I got a whole new angle for the cars racing and a lot of shots that I've taken. So somewhere all of those damn things are going to be posted. But I'll screen them first. Basically, it's just I'm using an iPhone, so all you have to do is sort of crop them so you've got out all the extra, because I just do wide-angle lens, or the full lens, just to capture everything, and then just crop it to make it look like you're close-up. And the quality's good enough for the internet. So it's winding down. I've packed up the chairs already, all except the one I'm sitting in. And I figured I'd gotta try and get out ahead of the crowd. I gotta maneuver my way out of back up and get out of here. That should be no problem at all. Again, I've got everything organized in the road trek, so there's no problems there. And be on my way home. It's been good. It's been very good. I keep forgetting. Hey, I'm just talking now, but wait a minute, buddy. Hey, this is number 1,000. Isn't this supposed to be some big deal? Aren't you supposed to have something special for those I was going to say assholes, but no, not assholes. No. If you're listening, you're not an asshole. Okay. Well, no, I can't guarantee that. But for those people who just listen to number 1,000, sorry to disappoint you. It's just all more of the same. It's just me just trying to understand life, I like to think I'm still playing this game of trying to make myself a better person, trying to be more aware. And it isn't easy. I found a passage in a book. I'm not going to read it to you. But people have been doing this forever. But, you know, at a deeper level than I'm able to. But just trying to understand. And it often circles back to this. You only live in this particular moment. This moment that I'm talking to you is the only moment that I've got or will ever have. And your listening moment, boy, some of you will say, wait a minute now, I got better things to do. If this is my only moment, why am I listening to the Scarborough dude? Yeah. You can stop anytime you like. Another voice today said, okay, make this the last one and go do something new. And I'm actually thinking that might be a good decision. So, I don't know. And I'm not playing games. I'm not trying to be cute or funny or, you know, make anything more out of this other than what it is. And it's just a man reflecting on life, reflecting on his own life, trying to understand what makes himself tick. What is it about my wiring? What is it about my personal history, my childhood, my whatever, that makes me who I am, that makes me do this, that's trapped me in this personality? And of course, well, did I all add all these personality things? Ages now, no, they're switchable. They're open for change anytime you want, buddy. So it's sort of like, I don't know. I would love to wrap this up with me making a mistake, circling around the block, coming back, giving that guy the cold drink, and then the next day being rewarded with a can of beer for my good deed by unseen forces working at me. So here they go. This is the last of the big guys. Corvette's in there. And I guess they've certainly cleared the track. I don't know how many more laps they'll get in. They only allow 20 minutes. But I'm going to get out of here before the 1600 series and those smaller races come back on. And this will be it. I don't quite know how to end this. I feel kind of a... The word failure keeps coming up, and why should I feel that? Fail at what? What test was it that you failed? What is it you set out for yourself? I guess, like with anything, you want to make people happy. Is that true? Maybe not. You want to make people glad they know you. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, and there's some people, I guess, who go through life wanting to make people hate them and fear them. God, I'm sure not one of those people. Don't fear me. I guess this is the end. Scarborough Dude signing off on Father's Day 2024 from Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. I'll be back next year. I hope. Bye for now. Okay. This is present day Ken, the man who's just released episode 1000, a few episodes called 1000. And when I was backing up all the old Dixon Janes to make sure I had a copy of everything on a hard drive, I noticed number 859 was missing. And I did a little backtracking to find out what happened, because, hey, I'm one short of 1,000 here. And I found this clip, the clip I'm about to play for you. And what's kind of interesting was that it was, I didn't play it because it was something I had recorded at Mossport in September 2021. And for whatever reason, and I wish I had that clip because it's disappeared, it's gone. I said something I didn't feel good about and deleted the entire episode. So 859, that's if you're a collector, that's a special episode. But I think I took the whole thing down. So here's a little clip of an explanation. This is just really a little bit of fill. But I thought it was kind of interesting because it was all about Mossport once again, and that's where we're ending. And after that, you'll hear somebody sent me in a clip. The sound quality was so bad. Sounds like they recorded it in a car or something. I don't even know who it was from, but you'll hear that at the very end. So Scarborough Dude signing out. And sincerely, thank you, those people who have been with me right for the long haul on this whole damn thing. I appreciate that very, very much. And I have gotten just enough support to keep me going all this time. And I appreciate that very much. Scarborough Dude signing out for real this time. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I can't even say 1,000 with that stupid sound that you say. I don't even do that. Fuck. 10.
1,000.
It is Shorin, as you call it. It's just Shorin, by the way. You don't have to, like, say it like Shorin. It's just Shorin. Like, figure it out. Shorin. This is Shorin, Shane, and?
Lauren.
We are in America right now. We are driving to an estate sale because my wife likes to acquire things and then sell them for a profit. and we just wanted to send you a little message congratulating you on... Congratulations on, I think, what anybody would consider a monumental feat.
Yeah.
In any sort of platform. I don't know, but there's many TV shows, radio, maybe a radio show that's a daily, but, you know, 1,000 episodes is really, really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And I've listened to none of them, even though that you need me to listen to them to follow up on your life. But I just listen to the ones that you say things about me, and then you tell me that you do, and then I listen, and then I stop listening. Lauren doesn't listen to any of them.
How would you know?
She doesn't. She just likes seeing you every couple months, so. Anyways, we just wanted to say congratulations. That's huge. Thank you for sharing your life with everybody. You podcasting is the reason why we're friends, why we met 20 years ago, which is pretty crazy. Thank you for being, you know, what I consider one of my closest friends. And thank you for, thank you for being
you,
the Scarborough Dude. Love you.
Love you. We'll see you soon.